So we're so glad that you're here this morning, and want to get into the Word this morning. I know that you were really hoping I would do another uncommon message because we haven't done enough of those lately, but I thought I would do a little time out in all of our uncommon messages and talk about the coronavirus because it's a pretty serious situation. Okay, guys, I know it's serious, but that's pretty scary. We're not here to talk about scary this morning. I was actually going to talk about having faith and having peace and having hope. Do you have anything a little bit less scary? Okay. Okay. People are dying. It is kind of a global pandemic. Do you have anything where people could just relax and chill a little bit to deal with this? Okay. I don't know that I'm allowed to do that in church, so why don't we just put up the real sermon slide? Would that be all right? Okay, that's a lot better. How about that? I figured if you lost an hour of sleep, you'd need a little laugh this morning to get going, right? We're in kind of turbulent times economically, politically, socially, morally, physically in our health. What Christians would call the end times. But what does that mean? It means that sooner or later, Jesus will return. And we're all kind of curious, when exactly is Jesus going to return? Well, we don't know. And for the last 2,000 years, the church thought it was like today. So, and it hasn't happened in the 2,000 years. So we're going to live like he's coming back at some point. And what the Bible says is that Jesus will return, but he'll create a new heaven and a new earth. And Jesus will reign and rule forever from Jerusalem, but it'll be a new Jerusalem. So you might say, oh, you have my attention. What is the end times and when will it come? What are the signs of the end times? Well, Jesus gave us a few hints and a few, breadcrumbs to follow the trail. Luke 21:10, this is at the end of Jesus' ministry, and he was kind of getting people, you know, ready, prepared. He did this 2,000 years ago, so we've been in preparation mode for a long time. But in chapter 21, he said, nation will go to war against nation. Kingdom will come up against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes. There will be famines. There will be plagues in many lands. There will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from heaven. What he's saying is things are going to get worse before they get better. And it's going to be on a global scale that these worldwide events will happen. But I think he was telling us 2,000 years ago and reminding us in this message this morning, we, the church, can't freak out. We can't lose our cool when there's wars. We can't lose our cool when there's plagues and when there's famines. We have to stay chill because coronavirus, it's bad, but it could have been so much worse. But because of medical technology and the ability to spread the word about washing hands and being careful, you know, it's bad, but it could have been like history book worse. But then on the other hand, because of modern, you know, not just medicine to help us, but now we have modern transportation, it's being spread around the world so much faster. So there is a serious situation. So I want you to know what the church is doing. So before I get into the message on how we should respond, I want to talk about what the church is doing. Uncommon Church is dedicated to offering a clean and safe environment to the very best of our abilities. Every week, our facilities are professionally cleaned. And then before, in between, and after every service, all of our Dream Team members are bleach wiping common areas like door handles, push bars, countertop surfaces, especially wherever, you know, many people congregate, and obviously wherever our kids are. We have alcohol-based hand sanitizers in all the common areas. You do have to be careful because it shoots out like a machine gun, and it shoots across the room, so you're gonna have to catch it just right as it goes in, and it will splatter on your clothes. That's cool. But we're doing the best we can. And if this thing becomes an outbreak in DFW, we will even do more, you know, worst case scenario. We'll stop having Sunday services and we'll just stream online and everybody stays home and worships online. That's what most churches in Seattle and Portland are doing this morning because they're seeing a real outbreak in the Washington State area. So a lot of the big churches there this morning are doing live services to video and everybody's worshiping from home. So this message is not just about coronavirus, but it's about how do we as the church respond to these end times, terrible wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, plagues, viruses, etc. So here are six tips on how to handle the coronavirus or any other end time terrible thing. Number one, do not give in to fear. Fear is a thief. Fear is a liar. Fear will destroy your faith. So you should have your fear in the Lord, not in the virus. Now, if you're new to church stuff, when people say stuff like fear the Lord, I know that sounds kind of bananas, but in the Bible reading app that we're using this year, which is called the Read Scripture app, if you're looking for a daily Bible reading plan, I highly recommend it. There was a video about 3 or 4 weeks ago about what the fear of the Lord means, and the illustration, the example was like, it's like the sun. Like, we fear the sun, but not like in a, I'm afraid of the sun. We fear the sun. We respect the sun. We honor the sun. It can burn our skin on earth. If you take a spacecraft close to it, it's going to melt. Like, that's what we mean by fear the Lord. We have honor for the Lord. We have respect for the Lord. So we want to have faith, not fear. And our fear is in the Lord. Our fear is not in earthquakes, calamities, viruses. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but he's given us a spirit of power. He's given us a spirit of love. He's given us a spirit of self-discipline. So do not walk in the spirit of fear, because what fear does, fear takes our eyes off the Lord and down on the problem, and then fear magnifies the problem. Faith magnifies the Lord. So focus on the Lord and not the virus. Focus on the Lord and you won't give yourself over to fear. Psalm 91 verse 5 says, do not be afraid of the terrors of the night. Don't be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. Now that's a military term. Do not dread the disease. Do not dread the disease that stalks in China. Darkness. Do not dread the disease, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Now jump down to verse 9. If you make, here's a promise, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Lord your Most High, your shelter, verse 10, no evil will conquer you. No plague, no disease, no coronavirus will come near your home. Have faith that God will protect you. Focus on God's promise of prosperity, of God's blessing in health. Make the Lord your refuge. The refuge is the place that you go to for protection. The refuge is the place that you go to recharge your batteries. The refuge is the place that you go to strategize. The Lord is your refuge, so trust in God, and in that place of refuge, have peace. Trust in God. Do not worry. So many, the world can worry. They can freak out. Christians should not worry. Luke 12:25. Can all of this worry add even a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like adding a moment to your life, what's the use of worrying over the big things? Basically, a Christian should never, ever worry. Well, I'm so worried about this. I'm so worried about that. That's not biblical, because a Christian should walk by faith and not fear. We should walk with hope and not worry. So you should say, well, aren't you worried? No, I'm not worried. People at work should be like, aren't you worried about coronavirus? Nope, I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus. Aren't you worried about all that's going on around the world with politics and the economy? And nope, I'm not worried. My eyes are fixed on the Prince of Peace, which leads to number two, have peace. Have peace, live in peace, walk in peace. You know that the Bible says that peace is a gift that Jesus gives his followers. So if Jesus is gonna give you a gift, open it, learn how it operates, and use it every day. John 14, 27, Jesus said, this is at the end of Jesus's ministry. He's gonna leave and go back to heaven. He said, peace I leave you. Peace I give you. And I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Peace is a gift from the Prince of Peace. Jesus was on earth talking to the disciples. He said, listen, I'm gonna go away. I'm gonna return to heaven and go to my Father. My peace I will give you. And having fear and worry will never add to your life. It's a thief. It'll always subtract. So peace adds to your life. And what Jesus was saying is, I know this is difficult, but you can even have peace in times of trial, peace in times of struggle, of sorrow. John 16, 33. I have told you all of this so that you might have peace in me, Jesus said. Here on earth, Jesus gives us his great promise. you will have many trials and sorrows. Like, I know that Christianity is supposed to be cupcakes and rainbows, but Jesus is like, hey, you will have trial, you will have sorrow, but take heart, uncommon church, because I have overcome the world. Jesus is saying, there will be a coronavirus, but take heart, I have already overcome coronavirus. I've overcome the elections, I've overcome earthquakes, I've overcome tornadoes in Nashville, I've overcome these things. So Jesus has already overcome, so there is peace. Don't give in to the fear, don't give in to the worry, have peace. And in that verse, Jesus made two promises. Number one, there will be trouble and trial. Number two, he is our peace no matter what comes. I remember in Bible college in 1999, all of the computers in the world were supposed to shut down on 2000. The Y2K, some of you young people won't understand, but the world was in a panic because they thought the electricity grids were gonna shut down. They thought that the computer and banking networks were gonna shut down. And even though computer scientists said, yeah, no, we recognized the problem a few years ago and we fixed all the code. Like, don't worry, the media made us worry. So I remember as being a faith-filled Bible college student, a young person, I went to the Lord and I prayed. I remember praying. It was on my back porch. We had this little tiny house and this little tiny square concrete slab that faced, we were up against the green belt, and I had trees and bushes and I just was out there just praying. And I remember asking the Lord, do I need to be stocking up food like everybody else is for Y2K? And the Lord said, no, don't worry about it. Trust in me. And trust in the computer scientists that are saying everything's fine, we fixed the problem. So I had perfect peace. So when January 1st, 2000 happened and nothing happened, I was like, I could have told you. All you had to do was pray and hear from God. So as you face these difficult things in the end times, learn how to pray and hear the voice of the Lord and then walk in that peace. Number one, don't give in to fear, have faith. Number two, don't worry. Number three, speak life, not death. Speak life. Watch your words. Speak life. Speak joy. Speak health. Speak faith in God. Speak God's protection. Speak God's refuge. Speak peace. And you'll walk in that. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue can bring death or it can also bring life. The choice is yours. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Let me give it to you this way. The Bible says that we, man, were created in the image of God. God creates with his voice. Look at Genesis chapter 1 and 2. The Lord speaks and things are created. We are created in the image of God. When we speak, things are created. So it's kind of like a path, a road that you're going to live on. If you want to walk down peace road, speak peace. You want to walk down hope and life, speak hope and life. I'm going to walk down a road of faith, speak faith. You create the environment with your words. If you want to live in fear, if you want to live in worry, if you want to live in sickness, speak it. And that's what the environment you'll create. I encourage you, speak life, speak faith, declare it. I have joy for tomorrow. I'm not worried about this thing. I have faith that my God will protect me. He is my refuge. My hope is in him. Speak life. Number four, be wise. Like, don't be cavalier and be like licking like doorposts in the mall or at the airport from, you know, Asia. Like, don't be an idiot. This thing is very, very, very contagious. Wash your hands often. I need to speak to my daughter. Wash your hands often. Like, she'll go to school with hundreds and hundreds of kids and she'll come home and then, like, we're sitting down for dinner. I'm like, just out of curiosity, as you reach for the dinner roll in the bucket of dinner rolls, have you washed your hands since school? She'll be like, oh. Wash your hands with soap. If you start feeling sick, flu, fever, dry cough, aches, stay home, seek medical help. It hasn't spread in DFW like it has in Seattle, but God forbid, if it spreads in Dallas-Fort Worth, we will do, we'll shut down Sunday morning services and we'll have live worship and live preaching to camera, and you just stay at home. Maybe they'll have to shut down schools and all that, you know, until a couple of weeks can pass. Let's just be wise. But I will say this, in the other diseases, other plagues have come and gone over the last couple thousand years. And sometimes people die and sometimes they don't. This too shall pass. Like, coronavirus will be a thing of the past long before they ever fix the I-35 interchange in Fort Worth. I'm just telling you, like, this is gonna be construction will be around a lot longer than the coronavirus. We were all worried about SARS. We were all worried about avian flu. We were all worried about swine flu. We were all worried about Ebola. This too shall pass. In the meantime, be wise. Number five, worst case scenario, if it does spread to DFW. Here's the worst case scenario. It is spreading through DFW like wildfire. Generally speaking and statistically, healthy people beat this thing like they would any other bad flu. The people that are in the greatest risk are the elderly and anybody that has already suffered lung damage through pneumonia or something else, or maybe they have bad emphysema, COPD, or asthma. But here's, like, a huge portion of our church fits into that category. So they need to take extra care. So we have many people in our church that are older. So let me remind you, before I get into the worst case scenario, they have taken this coronavirus and they've abbreviated it and they've specifically named it so they know exactly which strand they're talking about as COVID-19. That's an abbreviation of coronavirus, and then the year 2019 is when they first identified it. So COVID-19 has a name. But the Bible says that every name will bow to the name above every name. So even this name bows to the name of Jesus. So let me say this. God forbid, if you get sick, our response is going to be to pray for your healing. Our response is to pray healing in Jesus' name. If you got in a car accident and broke your leg, we'd pray for healing. If you know what I'm saying? Like, if you had a headache and you're like, we'd pray for healing. If you get sick, we're going to pray for healing. Jesus paid the price on the cross to set us free from sickness, death, and disease. And you're like, no, but I am elderly. I have had pneumonia. I do have asthma. I do have COPD. I could die. Okay, so here's the worst case scenario. Your physical body dies. You will not die. Do you understand what Christianity is all about? Like, this bag of meat and bones we walk around in for 80, 90, 100 years, this is super temporary. When you repent of your sin and you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you will never experience death. This bag of meat will stop breathing and heart beating, but you, who you really are, will never die. That's what eternal life, heaven starts today, not when you die. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54. Our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that never die. The scripture will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? When a Christian dies, they don't actually die. That's when they really start living. Eternity, the meat bag will die and go into the ground. I get that. And we that are left behind, when we've lost loved ones, we've lost family members, if God forbid we lose you in the worst case scenario, we will miss you, we will mourn you, but the agony, the sting of death is quenched because we know you are more alive in heaven than ever before. So worst case scenario, you die from coronavirus, you die from cancer, you die from a car crash this afternoon, and you really believe that Jesus is Lord, you're not gonna die. You're gonna go straight into life eternal. So there's nothing to fear when life is on the other side of worst case scenario. The Apostle Paul actually spoke about life and death a lot. When you lived in the Middle East and in the Mediterranean 2,000 years ago, you could like stub your toe and get an ingrown toenail and then get an infection and then die. Like before antibiotics and before modern medicine, people died all the time. So, and when you're the Apostle Paul and you're telling people to repent of sin, make Jesus Lord, or you go to hell, like, people tried to kill Paul all the time. So here's Paul's response to death. Philippians 1:21. For me, for the Apostle Paul, living means I live for Christ. And dying, well, that's even better. That's the way Paul thought about eternity. He's like, I'm only here temporarily. So if I'm living, I'm living for Jesus. If I'm dying, I'm going straight to be with Jesus. That's actually even better. I'm not trying to be cavalier about death, but if you have repented of your sin and made Jesus Lord, you will never experience death. Yes, your body will die, but you will live. Let me recap. Number one, do not give in to fear. Have faith. Number two, do not worry. Number three, speak life. Number four, be wise and take precautions. Number five, worst case scenario, we're going to believe for your healing and worst case scenario, you're going to heaven. What's wrong with that? Number six, and we'll end with this. Win the lost. The world is full of fear right now, and they're full of fear of their own mortality, and they don't have the hope that we have, and they're actually living in fear that they might die, and it's the end of everything, and then there is nothing more. So what they're doing is they're questioning their mortality. This is an amazing opportunity to preach the gospel. When people are thinking about life and death things, that's your opportunity to talk to your friends, talk to your coworkers, talk to your family members. It's sort of a wake-up call. And like the people examine their own humanity, their spirituality. And you can say, listen, washing your hands is important, but washing your heart of a way of sin and believing in Jesus is eternally so much better. So this is a great opportunity for you to be public in your faith, public in your hope, public in your joy, public that Jesus is your refuge, public that you have life and life abundantly no matter what happens. Worst case scenario, you're gonna live and not die. So use this as an opportunity to talk about heaven, to talk about healing, to talk about the Lordship of Jesus. So let me give you my final, why don't I write a whole sermon about coronavirus and all sorts of end time calamity? Here's the reason why. I'm a dad, I've got three kids, and we have a lot of kids and grandkids in our church. What message are we telling our children when we're faced with a threat? See what I'm saying? Because do you want your kids to live in fear? Do you want your grandchildren to grow up having this like panic and fear about earthquakes and wars and politics and the economy and diseases that come and go? We, the believers in Jesus, are a people of faith. So our response to these end time terrible things should be one of faith, wisdom, reason, hope, joy. And when we give in to fear, we're telling the next generation to walk in fear, to walk in panic, to be fearful and suspicious. And you know what it breeds? It breeds a very self-centered, self-interested people that go buy 7,000 packs of Clorox wipes off the shelf so nobody else can get some. We're very self-focused, especially in America. And we're gonna raise our children to be the same thing. If we don't face this thing well, if we don't face this thing, and let me tell you something, Jesus said in the end times, it's gonna get terrible before it gets better. So I hate to say this out loud, but our children and our grandchildren are actually gonna face worse things than we faced. So when we're gone and in heaven, how do you want your kids and grandkids to respond? Wouldn't you want them to respond with faith, with joy, with hope? That starts today in how you talk at the dinner room table and how you see the end times, how you equip your children. They're gonna face worse things, so equip them to face terrible things with joy, with hope, with peace, with faith. Specifically to coronavirus, let me give you some perspectives. I spent a lot of time on the CDC website. If I was gonna give you a statistic, I wanted it to be accurate. So since January 2020, today is what, March 8th, so about 60, 65, almost 70 days into this new year, okay? In 2020, 4,200 people in America have died from alcohol-related issues. 13,000 people have died from drug overdoses. 21,000 people have died in 2020 alone from obesity related issues. You that are still smoking, in 2020 alone, 92,000 people have died from tobacco related sicknesses and diseases. It gets worse. This is the one that's gonna make me super angry. In 2020 alone, 119,000 innocent children have been murdered through abortion. In the US, 11 people have died from the coronavirus. I'm not trying to make light of the 11 that have died of corona, but if we put things in perspective, in this country, we have a lot bigger problem with drinking and drugs and tobacco and obesity and abortion than we do with a bad flu. Don't believe the media that wants you to panic. Just be wise. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Don't give in to fear and worry. Hop up on your feet. We're going to pray. Because the media wants you to fear. And if you have been walking in fear, I want the Lord to give you his peace today. And if you've been struggling with anxiety, if you've been struggling with, if I get sick, what happens? Well, let me ask you a question. Is your God bigger than the coronavirus? Or is corona bigger than your God? God forbid, if you get sick, forget corona. If you get sick with cancer, if you get sick with diabetes, if you get sick with whatever, do you believe that God can heal you? Do you believe that our God is a healer? God forbid, you're on your deathbed. You're hit by a bus. We don't have buses here. You're hit by a truck. And you're laying on the side of the road. And you overhear the ambulance driver say he's not going to make it. She's not going to make it. Do you know Jesus? Are you like, okay, I'm going to miss my family, but in a few minutes, I'm going to see Jesus. And this excitement, this life begins to well up even in death. And I'm not trying to be cavalier about death. I've lost very close people that I love. But those that are believers are more alive now than ever before. They're in heaven. The Bible says we will not die. Our bodies die, but who we are, we will live forever. Eternal life starts the moment you make Jesus the Lord of your life. Let's pray. Jesus, I'm asking for help here. Because a lot of people in our community are struggling with fear, struggling with worry, struggling with anxiety, not just over the coronavirus, but over all the struggles and trials we face in this end time life. Wars, earthquakes, tornadoes, rumors of wars, the economy, politics, Lord, it's very alarming, it's very disconcerting. And for some people, they really struggle with fear, with anxiety, with worry, with doubt. God, I pray for our church and for our city. And I pray that you would give us peace. I pray that you would give us hope. I pray that you would give us joy. I pray that faith would arise. I pray that we would see this life as temporary and see eternity from a place of life and joy, that we will be together with you forever. Maybe you're here this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed, and you would say, I don't know that I would go to heaven. I don't know that I know Jesus the way you talk about him. I don't know that I have started eternal life. The good news is today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for you to repent of your sin, ask Jesus to forgive you, and then to receive the gift of eternal life. To start living that eternal life now and today so that you will live and not die. So that your faith is in Jesus. So that your hope is in Jesus. That starts today. I'd like to lead you in that prayer. And you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're all going to pray this prayer together. How about that? If you believe this in your heart, pray this together with me. Pray this out loud. Say, Dear Jesus, please forgive me. Wash me and cleanse me of all of my sin. I make you the Lord of my life. And I receive the gift of eternal life. I will never die. I will live with you forever. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe the first time in a very long time, would you shoot your hand up real high and say, Preacher, that was me. I see your hands. Or anybody else? Just shoot your hand up and say, Preacher, I got right with God today. All right, I see your hand. Yeah, good. Anybody else? Come on, somebody. Good. I'm so proud of you.